Now, National Hedgerow Week has just started with events organised across the country. By law, you're only allowed to cut your hedgerows from the 1st of September to the end of February. And outside of these times, with a few exceptions, it is illegal. And those rules are applied to everyone, not just farmers. But before you phone your contractor or reach for your power tools, Westmeath farmer James Hamm wants you to think about alternatives, such as the traditional art of hedge laying, where branches are cut, laid horizontally and pegged to create a thick, dense living hedgerow. James is a suckler farmer in Moyvore with over 4,000 metres of hedgerows. I went down to his farm during the week to hear a bit more, but first there were some pregnant Aubrac cows to put out.
They're all due now. Three of them are heifers and there's one cow, but their times are all up now.
First time mothers.
Yeah.
Big mama here will lead the way. That's the girl, go on.
So she's walking out very slowly. And you call the one at the top a big mama, she's mad. Isn't she?
She's 900 kilos. She's,
my Lord.
She's way too big, but yeah. she's a super cow. I think she's had 7 calves.
So they're straight into the hedgerows there, eating them. Look at them.
They're grazed their way up along there now. Yeah. Do we get them as far as where we want them? But it's interesting to watch them searching out things other than grass.
You know, what can that tell you?
They're searching out other nutrients that aren't available to them. So the animal knows best what it needs.
So they're all stretching, their necks are up, stretching into the hedgerow there.
One eating the willow leaf there.
Yep.
Maybe she has a headache. You know, there's a salicylic acid aspirin in willow.
Ah, of course, yeah. Well, she is pregnant.
Too late to have a headache.
Yeah.
The first thing we need to get around is this idea that the 1st of September starts the hedge cutting season. It starts the hedge management season. And we shouldn't think about it solely as an opportunity to get in there and cut. And unfortunately, we've seen this promoted too much in the last few years.
So you want farmers to, first of all, think about management, not cutting.
Management, what needs to be done, and how best to preserve the hedges, which are the linear woodlands, which are the resources on your farm. And why make it any more difficult than you have to? The flail machine is an excellent machine in the right hands. I have a good contractor who will listen to what I want done and won't overuse it. The other option we have then is to think about where we start with is what stage is your hedge at? And we have to make an assessment of whether it needs to be trimmed with the flail, coppiced or laid. Coppicing and laying tends to put people off because they're manual wintertime work. But I think where we all go wrong then is to think of it as it has to be done this week job. We have to remember we have 5 months of the winter to deal with it. And if we do a little bit every week, you're looking for to bring that hedge back to a young stage. So by partially cutting it and laying it over, you get the regrowth coming from the base and it'll grow up nice and fresh because it has a good strong root system to it. We actually have the secret here of eternal youth, because if we keep laying hedges on phase bases over a generation, we keep them young.
So there's an electric fence running in front of us,
yeah,
protecting it from the cows, and then you have in there the big ash trees. They're still looking reasonably okay.
Not too bad.
And we have bramble, we've hawthorn.
Blackthorn.
Blackthorn.
And there's actually a couple of gooseberry plants that the birds seeded into it down the way here as well, which is sort of interesting to find.
That's a pretty high hedge sticking out a little bit into the field. What have you done to that in the last few years? Just left it alone?
Left it alone. We did do a light trimming on the side of that with the flail about 6 years ago. But that's as much as it's got in time.
This is a lovely stretch beside your oats here. So you've got an oat field to the left. That's ready to harvest, is it?
Hopefully this coming week, if we get the weather now, that'll be ready. But gas thing is, we were looking at that here one of the days gone by, and we got a bit of a fright because a lot of the heads on the oats along here, along the edge of the track, are actually, there's nothing in them. Mm. There's no grain in them. And then suddenly I realised it's because of all the sparrows and chaffinch that's coming out of the hedge and feeding on the edge of the oats.
Is that not an argument to get rid of your hedge?
No, it's not, because they're not going to take, I doubt if they'll take 100 weight out of it anyway. There's plenty of room for us all. It also keeps the whole system in balance. This hedge here is actually a bit unusual, because on the bank we have meadowsweet growing. And
I see rosehip up there, that's coming through. That's very good for vitamin C, isn't it?
A lot of these plants were used in nutrition, were used medicinally over the years. And there's a tufted vetch down the way here as well. So, willow herb.
Holly here as well, yeah.
Well, actually, that's a holly that was grown from berries after the Christmas one year by my father in a pot, and we planted it out there. So,
for farmers who don't want their hedges to turn into a line of trees, because that, after all, if you just let them grow, is what will happen, how should they manage them? Are there any particular species that need to be cut back more than others, or managed more than others?
Well, the first thing we should always do is get ourselves out of our tractors and get down and walk and see what we have. Because even on this section of hedge here, you and me walked up along this and we talked about blackthorn, whitethorn and ash and dog rose and that. And still we walk by the crabapple tree that's here.
The crabapple tree?
Yeah. So we have a crabapple tree in the middle of it here. From the seat of the tractor, that merges into everything else and it looks the same. And if you come along with your machine and you're just trimming off the side, you trim away your crabapple tree, well, that can be left on its own to produce its fruit, produce its flowers.
Because the apples are coming out now.
The apples are coming out now, but the flowers were there in the spring for the insects as well. So, you know, that's a unique tree in the line of everything else, which is a bit samey with blackthorn and whitethorn. So why not leave things like that behind? But if we don't recognise that it's there, so get down off the tractor, walk the hedge, identify what you have, and then the farmer and contractor, as I do with my guy, is talk to him about how we have to be very easy on the hedge, not to go in too hard. Because if we reach the stage that we see on too many hedges around the country, where you see a lot of white after the machine is gone, you've eaten into the woody material, which shatters it and allows in fungi and wet and disease. And it also takes a lot of the energy out.
Would you advise for a contractor putting something like, say a ribbon on a tree, so that they know yes, no, yes, no as they're going along the hedge?
Yeah, well, it could simply be a matter of having an empty mineral bucket or an empty fertiliser bag and just putting it right at the base of that item that you want left behind when the contractor comes through. Because remember, on a wet day, with the windows of the tractor are clouded, he can't really see enough. Why not identify? It's something simple. Tying ribbons maybe not visible enough, but the bucket or the bag, and you can always lift it easily and go with it again. And he'll happily drive by and leave that. We're all running too fast and we're not getting the time to stop. So we don't automatically think about these things. We're too busy looking at our stock. We're too busy measuring grass. We're too busy thinking about what's the next job to be done. And the hedge is there and you take it for granted. I mean, as has happened with me here in this hedge, I mean, I've obviously herding cattle every day of the year, walking up and down. And then one day I started laying the hedge and discovered there was a holly bush in it I didn't know was there. This is what's happening with biodiversity in Ireland, is we're losing those things that we didn't realise we have, because the machine has come along. We're saying to the contractor, listen, I'm going off, I have to bring stock to the mart. You go down there to the second field and cut all the hedges around it. And he goes in and you lose all these extra things like spindle and holly and elm and whatever is in it, and the biodiversity that goes with it. It's not right to say that as farmers we own blocks of land, blocks which essentially is blocks of potential nature, and we don't know what we have. And it's 10 times worse when we're doing harm to it. So the more healthy you hand on that farm or that biodiversity or that hedgerow to the future, is it not a lot better for your sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, whoever is coming after us?
So what you're saying is it's not necessarily just about you.
It's not about us. Why don't we think about it as strongly as we do about profit and the industry that drives us to think nothing, only profit?
James Hamm on his farm in Moyvore in Westmeath. And there's more about Hedgerow Week and all the events that are happening this week on heritagecouncil.ie.